give you the summary of the second section of the first mundaka. We have seen the first mundakam will be complete with today, and second mundakam needs a lot of explanation. We'll see next class. The second section of the first mundakam has 13 verses. 13 mantras. Of all of them, can you look for the 12th mantra? 12th mantra? Yes, I want to tell you. See, we have seen the summary of the first section of first mundaka. Today I am just telling you the second section of the first mundaka. The whole teaching is presented in a nutshell in the first mundakam. And the first section, we saw the first section presented two topics. Remember, first section of first mundaka presents two topics. One is the sampradaya prashamsa, isn't it? The praise of the tradition, glory of the tradition. And the second topic was the paravidya or brahmavidya. And brahmavidya was presented, two lakshanams, two definitions, direct definition and indirect definition, which you have seen. Tatastha lakshanam means indirect, and swarupa lakshanam is direct definition. And I gave verses 6 and 7 were important, I told, remember? Sixth and seventh verses are important, and then wherein the Brahman being the only cause, only the both efficient and the material cause of the whole universe, being only Brahman, is presented there. This subject matter of the teaching of the first mundaka, first section of the first mundaka. And we will see the second section today. Second section consists of 13 mantras, and which highlights the importance of aparavidya. First section presents the paravidya or brahmavidya. Second section highlights the importance of aparavidya. How important aparavidya is? Aparavidya can also be looked upon as, or said to be, is what now? Yoga Shastra. What is apara and what is para? Paravidya is knowledge of the absolute, gaining which, paravidya is that absolute knowledge, gaining which the search for the knowledge, the thirst for knowledge becomes quenched for good. Thirst for knowledge becomes quenched for good, gaining which knowledge, that knowledge is said to be paravidya. And what is aparavidya? Aparavidya is knowledge of anything other than the Brahman reality is aparavidya. But it's not simply aparavidya, knowledge of anything. If the knowledge of anything, study of any given discipline, if it contributes for the mental preparedness, in aparavidya also becomes what? Yoga Shastram. And aparavidya is knowledge of anything other than Brahman is aparavidya. Knowledge of Brahman is paravidya. Knowledge of anything other than Brahman is what? Aparavidya. And that's why here we can say all the Vedangas, so any other discipline, yoga, everything comes under aparavidya only. Any education, any study comes under the category of aparavidya. And this aparavidya can be said to be Yoga Shastram if it contributes for mental preparedness. It's supposed to prepare the mind. Apara Vidya is something which prepares the mind for Jnanam. Knowledge of Para Vidya. Apara Vidya is preparatory knowledge. Para Vidya is what? Absolute knowledge to be gained by a prepared mind. Apara Vidya is knowledge of any discipline, anything other than Brahman, which is supposed to prepare, contribute for the mental preparedness. So, preparatory knowledge. And Para Vidya is the knowledge to be gained by the prepared mind, gaining which the thirst for knowledge gets quenched for good. Is it clear now? So, the difference is made clear in the second section of the first Mundaka. This is the main topic is this. This is the main teaching. Why do we need the performance of rituals? Performance of rituals or performance of any mundane activity or performance of rituals is mainly for mental purity. Should result in what now? Mental purity. And also upasanani, any upasanam also is only for mental steadiness. Upasanam and karma. So, knowledge of upasanam and karma is what? Apara Vidya. Knowledge of upasanam and karma, which needs to be implemented in the form of practice, is called what now? Apara Vidya. Karma and upasanam come under category of Apara Vidya. Knowledge of karma, knowledge of upasanam is Apara Vidya, and this knowledge of karma and upasanam had to be implemented in the form of practice, isn't it? Only then it will be productive, effective. And that's also what now? So, knowledge of karma and performance of karma and karma phalam, everything comes under what? Apara Vidya only. Is it clear now? So, this is Apara Vidya. And karma is for Antakarna Shuddhi, Upasam is for Antakarna Naischalyam. This is the top main thing. And if you say, therefore Apara Vidya also is important for preparing the mind for Para Vidya. This is the main teaching of the whole of second section of the second Mundaka. And here, what is important of all the 13 verses in the second section is the 12th mantra. Parikshalokan karmachitan nirvedamayad brahmanaha. You know, and then sotriyam gurumeva abhigachet. Brahmanishtam gurumeva abhigachet. That verse is the important verse you have to study well at home. I told, 12th. Verse number 12. Mantra number 12 is the important mantra. You have to study thoroughly and understand that. That is enough. Second section will be over. 13 mantras are there. One mantra is very important. What is that? Parikshalokan karmachitan. Why it is important if we say karmachitan lokan pariksha. Pariksha means what now? Having analyzed thoroughly. Pariksha, iksha, ikshitva means having seen. Pariksha means having examined thoroughly well. I mean, examined what? No, karma chitan lokan. All one's accomplishments. Lokan here means all one has accomplished and achieved by performing various types of actions and various type of making various types of efforts. Pariksha lokan karmachitan. Karmachitan lokan pariksha. Having thoroughly examined all one's accomplishments, one is accomplished through the performance of karma by one's efforts. Any effort is involved, any effort is expressed through action only. Isn't it? Examine, one, pariksha lokan karma chitan, then what happens? If a person learns from one's own experiences, pariksha na, lokan karma chitan, then if a person becomes mature, nirvedam ayat. A person becomes nirvedam ayat means nirvedam ayati. Nirvedaha means indifference. Indifferent, being indifferent towards all that one has accomplished in one's life. What does it mean? What does it mean by saying becoming indifferent to all that one has accomplished in one's life? One naturally becoming disinterested. One naturally, not with frustration, naturally having grown out of desire for all those things which one has accomplished. How does one become disinterested? How does one become indifferent towards all one has accomplished? Or how does one grow out of desire for all one has accomplished in one's life? How does he grow out of desire for things which he has accomplished? With all passion, he worked so hard, made lots of efforts, and he accumulated things, accomplished lot of things. Name accomplished, fame accomplished, assets accomplished, manpower accomplished, money power accomplished, influence accomplished, good name accomplished, no? Praise accomplished, everything is accomplished. So he analyzes them all. What this name can do for me, what this fame can do for me, what all the rimbas, all the pleasures he had in life, you know, all forms of pleasures he enjoyed throughout his life, he analyzes. A person has not enjoyed pleasure, that's the problem, isn't it? The person has enjoyed all forms of pleasures. No, he analyzes his pleasures. Oh, when I was 20, I had this. When I was 25, I had this. When I got married, I had this. When I had my children, I had this. When I took them out, I had this. This is what we used to go. This is what we used to do. It was a nice time. He analyzes all forms of pleasures one enjoyed in all forms of pleasures one enjoyed in life. No one analyzes and sees. All one has accomplished. How I got my first medal, second gold medal, third, when I got my award for this, and I got my Nobel Prize for this. If a person, analyzes all these things, international award, that award, this award, all that he analyzes and sees, is called karma chitanam lokanam parikshanam. Karma chitanam lokanam parikshanam means what now? Parikshana means thorough analysis, thorough study, examination of all that one has accomplished one's life. When a person when examines, then what now? He understands of one's fact. What is that fact? Analysis, examining of one's own accomplished. Uncle is smiling. Examining of one's own accomplishments and achievements and life, whole life you have lived. When a person enjoys, you don't need to live till 90, then you analyze. Even 50, 60, you can start analyzing. Okay? Even 40 should be okay if you are too mature. One analyzes one's experiences. Then one arrives at the conclusion, the fact. One must have enjoyed, then one must be able to examine, analyze, then he learns a lesson. Then only then, without having enjoyed the pleasures, without having enjoyed the artha kamas, you cannot know the limitations. Isn't it? That is why our shastram, grihastha ashrama, and then prescribes what now? Is prescribed for pursuing artha and kama in conformity with dharma for what? For what? For you to to grow out of desire for pleasures, not to get stagnate in pleasures. Know that? Pleasures are allowed to be enjoyed. You have to enjoy pleasures for what? To grow out of them, not to remain stuck there, not to get stuck there. Enjoyment of pleasures is a must to grow out of it, not to get stuck there. Not to get stuck there. I'm repeating it, okay? If you get, that's why when you enjoy pleasures, if you analyze, then you understand the limitations of pleasures. You examine the accomplishments, you understand the limitations of pleasures. What limitations of all your accomplishments? I have accomplished all these things, so what? So what? Why? They do not relieve me, free me from my smallness. Still I am an inadequate person. Still I am a small person. Still I continue to be what now? Still I am an unhappy person. I enjoyed everything. I can't say enough now. Why? I still want more. Still I cannot be by myself. Still I am dependent on them means what now? No, that is what we say now, pariksha lokan karmachitan nirvedamayat brahmanaha. One is supposed to, you know, the whole grihasthashrama life is for you to grow out of, you know, grow out of, for you to live and to grow out of, you know, the desires for things. I'm not saying you should become, you should give up disease. If I ask you to give disease, I'm a wrong teacher. Isn't it? One naturally grows out of desire for things. How? By understanding limitations. How does one understand one's limitations? That they can, I have enjoyed all these things. They are not able to give me what I want in life. What I want ultimately is I want to be happy always and I want to be peaceful always. Isn't it? They're not able to give me that. One will understand that. So when you understand all these I have accomplished through karma are not able to give me what I really want in life, you understand the limitations. The understanding of their limitations is means what? That they cannot give me what I want in life. No? They cannot give me what I want in life. What I want is everlasting happiness, everlasting peace that they cannot give me. Isn't it? This understanding of the limitations helps you naturally grow out of desire for them. You know, but they cannot give you what I want. And then these are simultaneously you also understand what is that which can give me what I want in life. Now it is the knowledge alone which will bless me with what I want in life. Very difficult to gain the jnanam, people think, isn't it? It's not the subtlest fact you have to understand. Understanding of the subtlest fact requires subtlest mind also. You know, highly cognitively skillful intellect you need. Skillful mind you need. Isn't it? Highly sharp intellect you need. That is why Vedanta Shravanam is again and again and again and again and again you have to listen. Why? Because you need a sharpest intellect. It doesn't matter. As you are listening, Shravanam also takes care of your sharpness. You know that? Slightly blunt becomes sharper and sharper and sharper and sharper. That is why, thanks to Vedanta teaching, really. So, Sampradaya. You wouldn't have thought a lot of things that way. You know? Because subtlest fact is what? You know, this all that is here is Paramatma, that Paramatma, Ahamasmi. Isn't I am that Brahman which is manifest as the whole Jagat. In understanding this fact alone, you will not become happy, you will recognize your own Swarupam being happiness and peace. And this other than the recognition of the fact of Paramatma being yourself, there's no way of yourself being fullness, yourself being happiness, yourself being, isn't it? There's no way of becoming peaceful and happy. Therefore, this is the only means, this jnana, you understand the value of knowledge, you understand the limit, simultaneously, you understand the limitations of everything you have accomplished in life, for which you can arrive at the conclusion, you understand the limitations, only if you examine them thoroughly. The examining is possible only if you enjoyed them properly. That is why pursuit of artha kamas are meant for your enjoyment, and thereby they are meant for your growth. You are growing out of desire for them. Isn't it? Without having enjoyed, you cannot grow out of desire for them. Sometimes when something is given to you to enjoy and to grow out of desire for them, or something, but you, instead of growing out of desire for them, you get stuck there. Mm-hmm. You are not able, I cannot live without it. Mm-hmm. Something is given to you for what? You enjoy it now, but you better know the limitation of it. Then you yourself will grow out of desire for it. So pleasures, enjoyment of pleasures is good or bad?
Good.
If it contributes for you to grow out of it. So growing out of desire for pleasures is what now? Maturity. Getting stuck with the pleasures is what now? When you enjoy pleasures, sometimes you remain engrossed in pleasures and you don't want to, because pleasures disable, isn't it? Don't want to get off pleasures. That is the problem. Pleasure, enjoyment of pleasures is not bad at all. It's very important. But it should help you what? To grow out of it. Not, you should get stuck with that. Not remain engrossed in that. Isn't it? That's why he says, when you have to enjoy, so pariksha lokan karmachitan, karmachitanam lokanam parikshanam samyak kritva. Isn't it? When he does, examines thoroughly well, then brahman nirvedam ayati. When a person becomes indifferent towards all of the means, he grows out of desire for all those, how passionately accomplished all of them. Now he is completely dispassionate towards all of them, knowing their limitations. See, to acquire something, you must have great passion, isn't it? With all passion, you work hard, with a lot of efforts, you make everything, earn everything, enjoy everything. And afterwards, my God, you totally become dispassionate towards all of them. You know? Like, you would have bought a sari, long ago, paying, 25,000 rupees, whole gold, sari is full of gold, you bought it. After 10, 15 years, it's no more interest, you are not interested anymore. You kept it safe in the cupboard all the time. Now, then you take it, pick it up and see. Now you are not interested really. But now so many things have come up also. It's outdated, okay? Then you can't. There's lots of things happen now. So what I'm saying here, this is what is maturity. Nirvedam ayati. So nirveda ayanam means what? Nirveda praptihi, isn't it? That the dispassion towards one's accomplishments, one's enjoyments, one's pleasures, all from self, one's accomplishments is possible only when a person examines them thoroughly. That examination is possible only when a person really enjoys, isn't it, everything. Then such a mature person is called, mature person is Brahmanaha. If a person has not learned from one's own life's experiences, he is still immature. Means an immature is a brahmana, a mature person is a brahmana. Is it? Such a person alone, he knows what now? He knows the value of knowledge. How? He knows what is that which can give me what I want. Once a person knows what is which can, that can give me what I want in life, then he approaches what? Shastram. How do you approach Shastram? With the help of the teacher. Such a person, Gurum Eva Abhigachet. So the verse highlights the importance of teacher, importance of Shastram. Never ever search for the self by your, on your own. Atmanveshanam Swayam na kuriyat. May one not search for one's self knowledge by oneself. May one search for the self with the help of the teacher and shastram. That is what is emphasized by this tradition. Okay? Not because teachers wanted to be employed or enjoy, because it is not for that. That is the tradition, isn't it? That is how it is. It has to be understood. So here, he says, the Guru Meva Abhigachet. And who is the Guru? Brahmanishtam Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam Guru Meva Abhigachet. And Guru is the one who knows the Sampradaya, who knows the method of unfoldment. Shrotriya means one who has profound knowledge of Shastras. And that one who has the profound knowledge of Shastras is the one who knows what now? One who has the vision of the Shastras. That means Brahmanishtaha, and also what? One who is knows the method of unfoldment, sampradaya with. One who knows the method of unfoldment, sampradaya with. And one who knows how to, the method of teaching methodology, he knows. This is sampradaya with. Gurum, sampradaya vidam, shrotriyam, brahmanishtam, gurum eva, abhigachet. So that person alone approaches the teacher and starts studying Shastram. So this verse, the whole of second section, what it tells is, if a person, karma and upasanam, come under the category of aparavidya, which is a yoga Shastram, which is supposed to prepare the mind for jnanam. Without the aparavidya, there is no way of preparing your mind for jnanam. Without the aparavidya, there is no way of preparing your mind for jnanam. Without the preparedness of mind, no paravidya is possible. Paravidya is impossible without the preparedness of mind. And preparedness of mind is dependent on aparavidya. And aparavidya, so karma is also for karmanaha jnanam, performance of karma, knowledge of karma, knowledge of upasanam and practice of upasanam, these will result in the mental preparedness. That mental preparedness will result in what? Mental preparedness will be expressed in the form of what? Expressed in the form of growing out of desire for anything one anything that will be accomplished by one karma or upasanam. It's called Pariksha Lokan Karma Chitan. What should the aparavidya do for you? Aparavidya means aparavidya or karma phalam or upasana phalam. Ultimately, whatever one has accomplished in one's life, should result in blessing a person with the dispassion towards things, thereby discover one's passion for jnanam. So that is the maturity. Maturity is what now? Maturity is the result of aparavidya. What is the ultimate benefit of aparavidya? Maturity. Aparavidya means what? Karma, upasana, everything other than jnanam is what? Aparavidya only. Knowledge of anything you aparavidya. Other than Brahman is what? Aparavidya. I know this, I know this, I know neatly, I know that, I know this, I know this, I know this. Everyone can say what all things you know. Now, other than knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of anything and everything is what? Aparavidya. I know how to do this, I know how to do this, I know how to do this, isn't it? Everything. Knowledge of anything is what? Aparavidya. And the knowledge helps you in what? Knowledge of aparavidya has to be implemented in the form of action. Implemented in the form of karma, isn't it? You have to perform karma. And it will produce phalam. Isn't it? And then upasanam also is what now? Karma, manasam karma. So whether it is knowledge of upasanam, or knowledge of ritual, or knowledge of any karma you are doing, any profession you are doing also, you can take it for that matter. Anything you are doing, isn't it? The knowledge is implemented. Performance of karma. isn't it? Therefore, we don't talk about the what happens, all those things. Generally, aparavidya means what now? Knowledge of anything other than Brahman, and which is also implemented in the form of action and practice, which results in which produces time-bound results, enjoying which a person is supposed to grow out of, a person is supposed to know the limitations of karma phalam and grow out of desire for them. This is why if a person analyzes, knows aparavidya, implements the aparavidya in form of performance of action and practice, then if he enjoys the fruit of the aparavidya, jnanam, then he knows the limitations of it. If a person grows out of desire for the fruit of aparavidya, isn't it? Then he is a mature person. Such a mature person is a brahmanaha. What is the benefit of aparavidya? One line, the whole second section can be reduced to one line. Second section of Mundaka Upanishad, what is the saram? What is the essence of the second section of Mundaka Upanishad? Aparavidya is that which blesses one with the maturity. What is maturity? Maturity means discovering passion for knowledge and discovering dispassion towards everything other than knowledge of Brahman. One line, Satyam. You can go and ask anybody in the world. This is the essence of the whole of second section of Mundaka Upanishad. Finished.
Did you say Vedanta also is included in aparavidya?
Yes. Vedanta, everything, everything. Vedanta, knowledge, aham brahmasmi, that jnana which is in the mind, that is paravidya. Other than that, everything is aparavidya only.
So Vedanta is all the Upanishads are included?
Everything. All the four Vedas means everything. Everything is aparavidya only. See, the knowledge, the aham brahma asmi, that is a knowledge, isn't it? That's a fact.
My understanding was that only the karma kanda aspect of it is.
No. This is knowledge of Brahman, which is in your mind, as what? Aham brahma asmi. That knowledge alone is paravidya. Okay, other than that, what now? All the textbooks, all the teachings which serve as means of knowledge also, aparavidya. Knowledge alone, one vritti, is paravidya. Okay, the means of knowledge, Upanishads, teaching, teacher, isn't it? Everything comes under what? Knowledge of anything comes under aparavidya only.
It's like the analogy of the light, isn't it? The paravidya is the light.
The light.
And then the aparavidya is all the objects. Lots of different knowledge.
Yeah. You know, ultimately, the paravidya means knowledge of the reality is aparavidya. There's only one vritti, one thought. Aham brahmasmi. That is paravidya. The rise of a thought. That is the culmination of what now? Aparavidya. Isn't it? Everything is aparavidya only. So here, what is it that is expected of aparavidya? Aparavidya, in fact, prepares the mind. Preparatory jnanam is aparavidya. Is it? Paravidya is a knowledge which rises in the prepared mind. With a culmination. Is it clear now? That's all.
So paravidya is only one knowledge and all the others are lots of knowledge. Leading to that one knowledge alone.
It purifies that your mind.
Purifies mind.
Yes.
Leading means it doesn't lead directly towards that knowledge.
Yes.
In terms of preparation. See, knowledge of anything is supposed to prepare your mind. Isn't it? See, one may not know. See, doesn't matter. One in one's given span of life, one cannot learn everything. See, whatever you learn, whoever learns any given discipline, studies, there is only one aparavidya only. But for all of us, isn't it, that one knowledge, isn't it, what the knowledge of one's own swarupam, which happens to be Brahman, the pure existence, isn't it? The knowledge of the reality. Knowledge of reality is paravidya. Because that jnanam is the culmination. Because that is where you know, you become free from your problems. Your problems will be resolved.
So before that is the thing. Secular knowledge will not come under aparavidya.
Well, everything.
Everything.
Everything. Physics, chemistry, everything is aparavidya only. Yes. See, that's why I told, no, there's also a thing called secular and sacred. Really speaking, everything sacred only. According to Vedic tradition, there's nothing which is secular. Everything sacred, sacred, sacred. Which is not everything. Oh, everything is Bhagavan. What is secular here? The vision is, oh, all that is here is only Bhagavan. There is nothing secular here. Everything is sacred only for us. But even though we say here, the mundane activities are the spiritual ritual, rituals of the Karmakanda, Vedic rituals. Whether knowledge of the performance of Vedic rituals or knowledge of the mundane activities, isn't it? You can't be an accountant simply without knowing any accountancy. You know, that's all knowledge of accountancy. You must have to be an accountant. You must have knowledge of medicine to be a doctor. So that karma is what now? The karma you are doing presupposes your knowledge. You can't just be a doctor without having knowledge of medicine. You can't be an accountant without having knowledge of accountancy. You can't be a law without having knowledge of law. Simple thing, isn't it? So knowledge of any discipline is what now? Whether it is, whether even you can't perform Vedic ritual without having knowledge of karma kanda, isn't it? So any karma, whether secular or sacred, mundane or spiritual, mundane or the Vedic, sacred karma, any ritual is what karma is what now? Karma and upasanam presupposes knowledge. That knowledge is what aparavidya. The aparavidya ultimately should result in what? The maturity. What is the maturity? These things cannot give me what I want in life. That maturity is there, you have lived your life successfully. How to measure whether I have lived my life successfully or not? Whether this life is meaningful for me or not? How to know? If you see, oh my God, I have not achieved this, I have not achieved that, I have not done this, I have not done this, they have accomplished this. If you analyze your life like that, you can't really understand. Doesn't matter, Shastram says, doesn't matter what you have accomplished or not accomplished in this life. If you have understood, what now? Nothing in this life will free me from bondage, limitations. It is knowledge which alone will free me from bondage. If this maturity, understanding has come, you are a mature person. If this maturity is there, the life has become useful and meaningful. Still life is very, very meaningful. The maturity has not come, then still, if the maturity has not come, means the life has yet to be, what now? It doesn't really contribute anything. The life has to contribute. Life has contributed something means what? The maturity. What is the greatest benefit that one can have by living this life? Leave alone moksha and jnanam. Before jnanam, what is it you need? Maturity. What is that maturity? You have to become a brahmana. How do you become a brahmana? By understanding that these things cannot give me what I want in life. Not that easy joke, because when we talk, people may think, oh, sannyas, you can talk all these things, because it's not practical for us to talk. That's not true. If a person is mature, you can say, these things, nothing in this world can really give me what I want in life. That is a fact. What I want is, that does not mean you should not enjoy what is in the life. You should know the fact that this cannot give me what I want in life. Once you know that this cannot give me what I want in life, and let me go for what I want in life, then naturally you'll grow out of desire for these things. That naturally, not forcefully, okay? One cannot grow out of desire for something by being forced by other person. Come on, don't eat this. Don't enjoy this. If I say that is not right thing, isn't it? One has to naturally grow out of passion and desire for things, we understand the limitations. That naturally growing out of desire for all that one has accomplished one's life. It becomes what? That is called dispassion. That dispassion is called what? Vairagyam viragaha. Vairagyavan purusha, viragavan purusha is what now? The mature person. That maturity, if one can get, that is the highest benefit of aparavidya. Okay? Aparavidya should culminate in what? Vairagyam. Simple one sentence. Aparavidya should culminate in vairagyam. And vairagyam will lead you to pursuit of knowledge. Pursuit of knowledge will culminate in knowledge. What knowledge? Aparavidya. What is paravidya? Aham Brahma Asmi. What is that jnanam? Mokshaha. Aham Brahma Asmi jnanam is mokshaha. Paravidya is mokshaha. And paravidya will happen when you pursue knowledge with a total commitment. That pursuit of knowledge with total commitment is requires what? Vairagyam in the mind. Dispassion towards other things. That dispassion comes when you understand the limitations of everything, when you grow out of desire for them. For which you need to study aparavidya, you need to gain knowledge of aparavidya and implement the knowledge of karma and upasanam, then gain the fruits, enjoy them and know the limitation, grow out of desire for them. This is the content of second section of Mundaka Upanishad. What doubt you have in second section of Mundaka Upanishad? Tell me now.
From what you're saying now, if there is some sense of unfulfilled vyavaharika, something unfulfilled in the world, it is impossible to reach this dispassion. Is that what you're saying? If you feel, oh God, look, you know, I haven't yet done this one thing.
Unfulfilled desire, is that what you mean?
Yeah, if you feel there is some task unfulfilled, I have not done this, I have not. Does it mean that this dispassion?
That is not dispassion.
No, I'm saying it is not possible to reach dispassion even if you have even one unfulfilled.
In fact, you need not. Again, I tell you. No. Listen, please listen. What I'm saying, when you have. So, I want to achieve this, I have not achieved this. One may have many diseases, okay? But as long as, even if you have done, you need not have done everything in your life. Even if you have done something. Okay, I have lived my life, a simple teacher's life, okay? And then I have my own small experience. I don't need to live a life of a doctor, don't need to live a life of an engineer, don't need to live a life of an accountant to know the limitations of karma. Isn't it? Whatever one's own, suppose if you have lived your life for 30, 40 years, you must have learnt a lot from that life. Then that life itself must have blessed you with a dispassion. It is not frustration, even as Dev was mentioning about. Frustration is different from dispassion. You know, like, see, what is impossible for me to enjoy in this life, and if I have desire for something impossible for me, then I give up the desire. Why? I have this desire, but it's impossible in this life for me to accomplish that. Means what now? I give up my desire. Why? Because of my knowledge of impossibility of fulfilling that desire. For example, as a Swamini coming from India, as an immigrant, I want to become a prime minister of this country. You can't even stay here. What do you want to become a prime minister of this country? Is it clear now? This is what now? Impossible. What is impossible? But if I have a desire for something impossible, then in the long run, I give up my desire. That is called what? Frustration. Giving up the desires because of my impossibility of fulfilling my desires is called what now? Frustration. That is a different thing. But here, And you are very prudent and intelligent. You have desires which can be fulfilled. And you have desires and you do things and you fulfill your desires also. By fulfilling many desires, still you may have still some more unfulfilled desires. You have some fulfilled desires. You have some unfulfilled desires. This already, if you have lived your life fulfilling many desires, still having some more unfulfilled desires, this fulfillment of some desires itself will bless you with adequate knowledge of limitations, of accomplishments, of all or fulfillments of all your desires. Then naturally you will grow out of desire for things. I mean, even unfulfilled desires also will resolve naturally. Unfulfilled desires also resolve naturally when you discover already the limitations of your fulfilled desires.
Yeah, it's not the big things, the big desires. You know, there are many little things that people feel. You know, we know people feel.
Any desire for
my children are not settled. Or my
that is what I was saying. Everything. There's no such thing called anything. Everything. As I told again, concern is different. Concern, she will not allow you to worry. Concern will do the needful immediately. You forget about it. That's all. You know, this is attached only worry makes you worry. Concern means do the needful and forget about it. No? But you will be praying for the, you can bless them from distance, you can pray for them from distance. That's a different thing. See, blessing and praying is a different thing. You are because here, that's what I'm saying, there's a time. Completely you have grown out of desire for things. That means what? Even after being mature person also, you can have some concern for children, concern for friends, concern for society, concern for well-being of everybody, not only for your children, even for the society also. Isn't concern for the well-being of anybody in the world, that is different. That's a mature expression of maturity. Concern for any living being, isn't it? That is a different thing. That is a different thing. That's a maturity. But here mature means you are not craving for, completely grown up desire for pleasures and things means because mind for Vedanta needs a focused attention, focused mind. Why? Because passion towards things will make you distracted. You can't be focused. Vedantic vision needs focused attention. And you're already distracted. How many things are distracting you? So you're already very distracted. So being distracted is very natural. You can't be, I'm not saying being distracted is wrong. Nothing is wrong. Everything is right only. Everything is proper only. But what is required here? Being distracted, being restless, being agitated is natural. It is not wrong. But if you want Vedantic vision, you have to become focused. You can't afford to be distracted. How are you going to become distracted? No? If your mind is scattered, then you are distracted definitely. The mind is focused, you are not distracted. And if the dispassion means what? In dispassion, you are not distracted. In dispassion, you are not distracted. Where there is dispassion, definitely there is no distraction. If dispassion is not there, there is definitely passion. And when the passion is there, there is distraction is there. Passion for many things. Isn't it? That is why the beauty of Aparavidya is knowledge of everything and anything other than Brahman. And that knowledge needs to be what now? That knowledge implies what now? Knowledge has to be implemented. The knowledge needs implementation. Implementing in the form of what? Performance and practice. And that will result in what? Phalam. That fruit will give you what? The fruit of that karma will give you what? Time-bound results. And then you will, that when you analyze that karma phalam, what will you gain? You will know the limitation that it cannot give me everlasting happiness and peace. This one understanding, you know that? To know that. Because initially if somebody tells you, you won't listen also. You are not, that's what, but we have to really grow out of it. That is why it's very important for one to live one's life completely, properly, to know the limitations of it. You know, having lived 30, 40 years, that's why in Tamil we say, Oru paanai sotrukku, oru soru padam. When we want to see whether the whole pot full of rice is there, you don't need to see whether every rice is cooked. One rice, you say it is enough, you know it's cooked. You don't need to touch every rice, every grain you don't need to touch. Then you touch one grain and see it is cooked. That means what? It's enough. If you enjoyed the fulfillment of few of your desires, enough. You don't need to fulfill all your desires and to know the limitations. I still have unfulfilled desires. I have yet to fulfill them. Let me fulfill those desires. Then let me understand the limitation of fulfillment of desires. Not necessary. You have already, if you have lived your life 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, you have definitely enjoyed the fulfillment of many, many of your desires. And that itself is enough for you, understand, to know the limitations of fulfillment of desires. You're doing something.
Excuse me, could you, because of that you can have rebirth again and again if your desires are not really fulfilled or you have strong desires.
No, that is what we say. Desires will be there, that's why jnana. In jnanam sarvam parisamapyate, jnane sarvam parisamapyate. See, in jnanam, desires will resolve. In jnanam, thoughts will resolve. In jnanam, everything will resolve. In jnanam, when doership will go. In jnanam, kartrutvam will go. Enjoyership will go. Bhoktrutvam will go. Kartrutvam will go. Doership will go. Enjoyership will go. Desires will resolve. Passion will resolve. Everything, you don't need to push them out. They will all leave you alone and go away. Isn't it? When they go away, you are free. Your thing is, no, you are not this risk. That is why in jnanam everything goes. And where is the birth and where is death? Who has moksha? Where is moksha? Where is bandha? Who has bondage? Who has rebirth? There must be a first birth for you to have a rebirth, isn't it? If you know you don't have first birth, then where is the rebirth for you? First birth itself is not there. Where is second birth? We know you are, isn't it? That's a little different. We'll see next verse, the Dakshinamurti Stotra, that I'll explain that actually. The fourth verse is the most, and after third three verses, the fourth verse will really, the whole teaching comes to an end with the fourth verse. And fifth onwards, you can relax.
Swamini, the psychologists say that even during your old age, even when your children have gone away for 30, 40 years, even if you don't have desires, you have desires for your children. And yesterday's papers, there was a news item about that. I don't know whether anybody saw that. And, where does that come? Because even if they think that the children have flown out of the nest, but still, not that concern, you have desires for them. You want them to do well, exams.
That's all attachment. See, that's all attachment. One line, one word, attachment. You have to do a duty towards a child as a father, as a mother. Okay? You cannot do your duties for them. And then have concern for them. Means, whenever they come to you for any advice or guidance, you are 100% there for them. Okay? And then do the needful. Doing the needful is expression of concern. When all the time they should do well means what? Why they should do well? Why are you thinking that? Because you become, only if they do well, I'll be happy. Yeah. I mean, you are dependent on their well-being, doing well for your happiness means that's attachment. Yeah. If you are dependent on anything except for your happiness, you are attached to that. Okay? Attachment is being dependent on a given thing for one's happiness is attachment. If you are dependent on your children's doing well for happiness, then is what? Attachment. So attachment is your, that's a problem, isn't it? That is an emotional problem. Attachment is a problem, passion is a problem. All these things are problems, emotional problems. And then, I'm not saying it is wrong to have them, but is you are supposed to grow out of them. That is, the Shastra study is for what? By growing out of them. See, how long are we going to do? We don't know how long we are going to be here. And we are worried about children's well-being. Are you going to be there for thousands of years to look after them? Or what? We don't know what happens. No? Every fraction of a second is a bonus. Bhagavan's grace. So, we have no nothing. We don't know. We can't do the needful. That's all. It is a different thing. So, that's what sannyasi means what? That is why sannyasi, not the saffron robes does not make one a sannyasi. That's what people can't relate to. Sannyasis, no, they can't see the mind of sannyasi. When they have some problems, they can't see the mind of sannyasi. Seeing the external behavior of a person, they may think, oh, this person also has a lot of problems, like that. Really speaking, the sannyasa itself, not the way that even the, I don't know about other, many people go wrong, it's a different thing. But generally, a sannyasi's mind means the mind, completely dispassionate mind. Because the mind which understands others' problems, accommodate other problems, does not see anything as wrong. But at the same time, everything is accommodated. Because we know that everything. The same time, the mind which is not interested in all those things. Understand? Because we know the limitations. Sannyasi is not really color. The craft and dress doesn't make a sannyasi. Sannyasa means actually where the mind has very, very, very clear understanding of limitations of all forms of pleasures. All forms of possessions, all forms of security also, things also. You know, that's why there's no grabbing, there's no really craving for any pressure. There's no such thing. That is the mind. So that, you know, everyone is supposed to apara vidya, the highest benefit of apara vidya is that one should become a sannyasi mentally, not physically. Physically, you don't even wear a saffron robes. Mentally, mental maturity of a person is what now? Mentally, one becoming a sannyasi. Who is a sannyasi? If you have passion for jnanam, dispassion towards everything else, this is your maturity. Dispassion is not born of force. Dispassion is born of understanding. Understanding of limitations. I cannot force and bring dispassion. Dispassion can be forced and imposed on somebody. Then become dispassionate. Okay? Like become. Do 5 or 10 namaz. Not like that. Okay? Become dispassionate. No. Not like that. It can't be forced on people. It has to come naturally, one has to grow out, no? Born of understanding. But understanding cannot be gained overnight. Look at that. That is why whole Grihastha Ashrama is for what now? Grihastha Ashrama has to be lived for what? Overnight you cannot have understanding. One day night, 2 days night, you can't understand. Whole of Grihastha Ashrama is for you to understand. For you to understand, for understanding the limitations. When you understand the limitations, then you become what? You discover dispassion. So dispassion is brought about, it's a change brought about by the understanding in the of the limitations of Artha Kama pursuit. Is it the dispassionate mind is what now? Dispassionate person has passion for jnanam naturally. Once you have passion for jnanam, dispassion towards everything else, then you'll be focused. And nothing can stop you from coming to the class. And then again, that is why we also say, once you know what is priority, then even the small lingering emotional commitments to other things, which I've been involved in all those things, I've been involved with this for many years. So I can't give it up. Why? Again, that entanglement also should grow. Even then you still not dispassionate. Any emotional entanglement with anything which you have been practicing for many years. Because it's not over, you can't give it up. Because you've been doing it for many years, giving it up is not an easy joke. Not easy. Not at all. I'm not saying it is wrong. It is not wrong. But it is very important. You can't give it up. That is why we get anywhere we get emotionally entangled. Why? Many years. Many years entangled. It is only Gurukulam where you can come out without any entanglement. Gurukulam, you live for years, be with the teacher, study the Shastram with the clarity, no entanglement. You know? Satyam. And you have all freedom. You are an institution by yourself. You are an organization by yourself. In the mind. That is why everywhere we get entangled. Even our friendship. No, we are associated for some time. Oh my God, so emotionally. Get. Everywhere emotional entanglement. From some time we know each other, get entangled. I'm not saying, see, having concern for each other, even if you don't know or know, that is different from what getting entangled, isn't it? In fact, I don't want to go into the details of go out of such a matter because time is very precious for us. I was also not very well, so I just took it easy today. Because it happened a very, very serious verse. I didn't want to break the class. That's the only reason I didn't cancel the class also. Actually speaking, the Aparavidya, the first chapter presents Paravidya in a nutshell. Second chapter presents Aparavidya in a nutshell. And what is Aparavidya? The culminative 12th verse tells you the highest benefit one has to gain as a result, you know, by Aparavidya is what now? Maturity. Maturity is discovering dispassion towards everything one has accomplished with passion, isn't it? Is what? Is maturity. That maturity is very much required for with jnanam. That is the benefit. That's the lesson. And once you have that maturity, you know, of dispassion toward other things, also it helps you discover passion for jnanam, and that jnanam will definitely take you towards Shastraman Guruhu. The Guruhu who is Brahmanishtaha and Shrotriyaha. That is the teaching of the whole of second section of Mundaka. I think we analyzed very well today. Don't you think? The second section of Mundaka Upanishad has been very well analyzed. You know, how many mantras are there and karalika there? What is that we have to learn ultimately by second section of Mundaka Upanishad? Vairagya Praptihi. Say now. Vairagya Praptihi. Aparavidyaya. Aparaya Vidyaya. Vairagya Praptihi. Vairagya Praptihi. Vairagya Prapti. You know, attainment of dispassion is the ultimate benefit of Aparavidya. One line answer. This is the essence of the second section of Mundaka Upanishad. And then one more line you have to add what? This Vairagya Prapti will lead you to what? Jnana Praptihi. So Jnana Praptyartham, what you should do? Guru Shastram. Shastraman Guruhu. Isn't it? Vairagya Prapti will take you to Guru and Shastram, which will culminate in Paravidya. Supposed to culminate in Paravidya. Is it clear?
But it is. It's okay for people like us who are Vedanti. But some people living in the world, they have this.
We are not worried about those people. They'll all come here. They're all saying, okay. Now what I'm saying, Amma, everybody will come to this. Everybody will come to this. Question of time. See, when the child is born, are you worried? When is the child going to become 20-year-old? When is he going to go to the university? You're not worried. Like this, every people in the world will slowly come. How you have come, they'll also come. It's a time, question of time. Some people come at the age of 70, some come at the age of 90, some at the age come at the age of 50, some come at the age of 40, some come at the age of 20. People, Shankar Bhagavatpada, they finished everything with 22, 32. You know, Vivekananda died very young. So that is a different thing. What I'm saying, doesn't matter. People, as they become mature, they will come to this. Depends upon janmantara samskaras and all, they will grow. That's why it's called bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapit. Don't worry about the people in the world. You be in that, and then by your own living, when you, the way you live, whoever sees you, whoever is attracted towards you, whoever, you know, comes to you, and they will be naturally inclined things for what you're interested in. Isn't it? Even people won't even come to us if they're not interested. Very dreamy, colored, people run away from me. Why? No, nothing colorful here. Very dry, boring life. They do not know. It's the luxury. They do not know that, isn't it? For them, what is different, isn't it? No, but what they're interested in, I'm not interested. That's a different thing. So they'll all grow, ma, no problem. See, this is again another problem. Always think about your own self first. Your own self is very important. It's not that easy. Your own self, your upliftment, you think about it, and the whole world is progressing. Whole world is progressing only, really speaking. Where am I standing? That is the thing. Because Shankara is going to talk about other people later on. Then following verse has an answer for your question. Following verse has an answer for your question. He is going to say later on, you know, my God, he is going to talk about two types of people. You know, there are two types of people. Who are they? Non-thinkers, laymen, ordinary people who are illiterate people, who do not have cognitive, who are not adequately cognitively skillful. And there are people, they do not think at all. And they also miss this vision. And then there are thoughtful people, people who think highly, who are highly given to, you know, thinking, like Nyayas, no? All people of all other schools of thought. Two types of people, both people, thinkers and non-thinkers, both of them miss this vision. And hope, oh Lord, how fortunate I am. I have got this vision. Thanks to you, Dakshinamurti, that he's going to say in the next verse.
That's what I wanted to ask.
He will tell that. So they'll all, see, we don't need to worry about anything in the world. I tell you, it's all this way. The worry about others itself is in sort of, you are not understanding.
It is not only worry. I was just giving example because I know some sick people. You know, they want sort of they are so much. They want to die, but they are so much engrossed into their body. They cannot look beyond that spiritually.
They are not mature, mother. So you can't help it. They had to grow. We can't help them. They had to grow. See, either unless they come to Vedanta classes. And we can't go and teach Vedanta. Vedanta cannot be given to a person who is not asking for it. They had. So that is why dispassion. You are worried about the, no, they are sick, they are worried about the physical body, means what? They are not yet grown. That is why the life's experience, when they suffer pain, when they go through pain, suffer, the suffering should teach them the limitations. My God, this body will be like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what dispassion, that is what aparavidya. That is why as they still had to be detained in only aparavidya. Aparavidya, detention, no? detain, no promotion. Okay? And when in the promotion, when they grow dispassionate, no? Pariksha lokan karmachitan, promotion. Isn't it? There's no way of. They have to grow. We don't need to worry about all those people. Leave them at a distance, no? We can be kind to them, nice to them, we can give them, you know, we can make them feel, no? We can make them feel comfortable, we can be nice to them, kind to them, and then loving to them, that's all. You can't change the immaturity. People have to grow on their own. Immaturity cannot be bought with money. Maturity can be given also. Immaturity can be bought and given, everybody will be posting maturity, you know that. Dispassion, come on, I'll tell you 1 kilo of maturity, take it. And all postage they won't mind. They'll spend any amount of money and then spend and buy maturity, dispassion. So that is why they have to grow. They have to grow. That is why the teaching is what now? The whole second section is specially dedicated for Aparavidya means. See, Aparavidya, we should not think only this and this. Because it is a Vedantic text, it talks about Vedic rituals and Upasanam. We have to understand any knowledge of any karma is Aparavidya. Any knowledge of any action, Vedic or mundane, it is Aparavidya. That knowledge itself not produce phalam, it has to be implementum of karma or of practice, it will produce phalam. That phalam is what now? Aparavidya only, isn't it? And they are all fruit of Aparavidya. So that will bless you with limitations of the fruits of karma phalam. Then you gradually grow out of it. And that is what we say maturity is the ultimate fruit, benefit one has to gain by gaining Aparavidya. Understand the limitation of karma and karma phalam is what? Understand the limitation of Aparavidya. It's okay? Understanding the limitation of karma phalam and karma is understanding the limitation of Aparavidya. For which one needs to analyze, examine one's life's experiences, and thereby one can grow out of that. So dispassion, vairagyam is very, very, very important. If people are not dispassionate, people are not mature, they're still, you know, suffering and paining, means we can't help them. They'll grow. One more janma, few more janmas, they will grow. I'm not saying we are superior or inferior, also I'm not saying anything. People who are immature also become mature one day, that's okay. Again, when you think about your jnana and moksha, naturally you understand everything, why others are like that. You know, you just leave them at a distance and then you had to progress. Okay? I think we have understood the second section of Mundaka Upanishad thoroughly well. First section also we did last class, we have done it. And second part of Mundakam, second Mundakam is the most important section of the Mundakam of the whole Upanishad, which we will see next class. Okay, now next class we will have a serious verse of Dakshinamurti Stotram. And here I want to tell you one more thing. See, when you say any object in this world, look at this, any object in this world is what now becomes evident. An object is evident. But for an object to become evident, it involves effort. Know that. It involves effort. If I had to say there is Dakshinamurti picture at the back, and I had to see that, really what now? It involves effort. Picture is, no, I had to turn my head and see like that. No, the turning is required. It involves effort. For an object to become evident, it is dependent on the operation of sense organs and the mind. Remember this important lesson I'm teaching you. It's only just introduction. For an object to become evident, the operation of sense organs and the mind is important. Without the operation of the mind and sense organs, an object cannot become evident. Do you agree with this?
Yes.
Therefore, that is what is, it has dependent, isn't it? If an object is evident, mic is evident. And for the object to become evident, it is dependent on what now? My object may be there. If it is not evident, it is as good as non-existent. The object has the status of being an existent only when it becomes evident. For it to become evident, there must be light. Even if it is light, I am blind. No? I can't see. Even if I am not blind, I am seeing the mic also. But my mind is not here. Mind is elsewhere. Still, it won't become evident, isn't it? It will be as well as non-existent. So operation of mind and operation of sense organs backed by the mind is what now? Very pointward for an object to become evident. It has dependent evidence. Object is what object has? Dependent. Object is evident. So object has what now? Evidence. Object has a dependent evidence. It is dependent, isn't it? It doesn't have independent existence. So it is dependent. For object to become evident is dependent. Whereas, I am, to know whether I am here or not. I am here or not. Not I, okay, for every one of you. No, but Binaji there, when you say, you have to look for her. Yes. One of the people in the class, was she there today? You had to look for her. Oh, she was there, she's not there. You have to say whether she's there or not. You have to search. You have to analyze. You have to see. But without having, are you all here or not?
Yes.
We say, to know what this object is, Mike is, for Mike to become evident, the operation of the instruments or instruments is important, necessary. Whereas to know whether you are or not, are you here?
Yes.
To know, what evidence do you need? Without the operation of senses, without the operation of the mind, you are evident. Understand now? This is what now? Independently evident. Okay? Is self-evidence. That's why self is self-evident. The whole jagat is what now? Evident. Isn't it? The whole jagat is evident. How do you analyze that? That what is dependent on operation of mind and senses. Self is ever evident. Self is ever evident. And ever evident self, the ever evident means it is not dependent on the operation of mind and senses. Senses need not function, mind need not function for you to know you are. Not dependent. Therefore, self-evident. So, Atma, when you say this Chaitanyam is self-evident, the world is evident to the self. Isn't it? So, these two things we have to analyze next class. What is self-evident? What is dependently evident. We'll see next class. So, namaste to all of you. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.